proceeding quarter this week?
Getting back there. Gabriel should be out there today. So that helps. We'll see how he is. Our training staff does a good job of part of the protocol is exercise, so that's rare that those guys come back out of shape. But they're not playing football, so we'll see where he is today. Travis will be we'll be out there limited in a red shirt. Now we're done being in pads, so but just as a precaution, he and Marlon will be in red. So I mean it's not as bad today looking at that, the depth of that group and the availability, bless you, the availability of that group as it was maybe 15 minutes after the game.
As thin as it got last week in the fourth quarter, who were the next guys in if you had to?
Well, it's Bibbs. You know, you just manufacture with extra tight end, whatever skill guys you have left. Duke, you know, you'd use him out of the, but you just line him up. It's really the same for him as being an empty some of his routes. So you have a fallback plan as a coordinator, especially when you go in with four wideouts, that, okay, if disaster strikes, what's my plan? Multiple personnel group, you know, you got to change personnel groupings and put those guys in spots that they're already used to playing so their world doesn't change.
You used Manziel for receiver last year. Would you have pondered that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, that's like in the 18th inning using your second baseman to have visions of Jose Canseco coming in to pitch. I mean, that would be the equivalent. I know Josh McCown's done it in his history, has played wide receiver and had some production, but if it had gotten to that, then sure, you got to, you know, it's all hands on deck.
Mike, do you have any conception of Phil Dawson's place in this franchise's history?
I do, because of the 7 years I was in Baltimore coming up here. And also with just Tabes is close with them. They talk. I mean, I know they have a very good relationship. So, I mean, I have maybe about as good a sense of it without having been here with them and having coached them.
Because he's been with low scoring teams almost his whole career, point total isn't anything special, but can you say anything about a guy at 40 still kicking 50-yard field goals at his success rate?
Yeah, it's an amazing accomplishment. I mean, it's a tribute to him, and just knowing what kind of person he is and how he takes care of himself, and you know how precise he is in his preparation, and you also look at where he's done it too. He hasn't been in a dome for his whole career. He's been in open air grass stadiums with weather potential, and just to me that just adds to it. The one, you're going to remind me of the one that went over, then bounced back, and
you were on that set.
Yeah. Question on the.
Can I just finish this one?
No,
is that right? I recall that Ravens were in the locker room, kind of celebrating a win, right? And then
some of the guys had left the field, not all. The issue, the reason I sleep well at night on that one is I know it was a crazy ending, but they got it right. They got it right. He made the kick, so. I mean, it was tough to be on the other side of it, but they got it right.
Did you know it was good? What you mean?
I knew it was good.
You were on the sidelines. You weren't.
I was in the booth.
Oh, you were. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you knew.
Yeah, the view up there. Just something didn't look when they called it no good. Something didn't look right, and I'm like, guys, I think that was good. So we had. But at that time, the rules clearly state that's not reviewable. But so the officials conferred, and to their credit, they never went under the hood. There's stories of, the official in the window at the booth kind of giving the signal down to the field. But like I said, I don't know how it all played out. But they got it right. So that's one of those things where I don't have an issue. But it was a crazy ending. It was a crazy game to be part of, but they got it right.
And so I'll talk to you after you talk. Question relative to that is, in his posturing, it was hard to conclude one way or the other whether he is actually contrite and believes that he deserved the punishment. Do you get the sense that he believes he deserved the punishment?
My conversations with him since then have all been very positive. So I don't want to get into, you know, grading what level of where he is, and he's upset that it happened, and you know, we're just looking to be full speed ahead afterwards. I mean, it's something that occurred, and I don't know the effect that it had on him, but I just know from a coaching staff standpoint, it was something we felt we had to do, and you know, we're moving forward.
Plenty of people have said plenty of times, I know, president, GM, coach types, that quarterbacks in the organization need to be, whether it's the words lockstep or really on the same page, sincerely. Has there been any process wherein you and Johnny have had to get on the same page so you can be on that level of, you know, walking forward together?
Well, outside of the incident, you know, there hasn't really been anything else of consequence for us to be off of the same page. Just from going back to training camp, you know, his dedication to the craft and when he's been in the building and how he's interacted with Kevin and with Josh and with Austin, Connor. I mean, as I've said before, I'm in that room a lot. I'm around those guys a lot during practice. You know, he and I have a very good relationship. We talk a lot about things that are non-football related. So I know we had a setback, and I had to step back for a minute and do what I had to do. But like I said, we feel like we're moving forward from it.
Part of the basis for this line of questioning is, you know, that a lot of talk, whether there's any veracity to it or not, that you aren't necessarily Johnny's guy, and you know, you tolerate him and do a professional job working with him, but he's not your guy.
Like, as I just said, I think we have a very good relationship. We talk about a lot of things, joke about a lot of things, non-football related. As I have that relationship with a lot of the guys, he's one. I don't see it as I've heard that people paint that as, you know, he's not my guy and I wasn't involved in picking him and just all the things that come with that. And that's just simply not the case. Pat, go ahead, Pat. I know you've been – I can just tell by your hands you've been dying to ask a question.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Was there a recent meeting that involved your owner and team president and GM to evaluate the past and the future that you were not a part of?
Well, if I wasn't – it could be true if I wasn't a part of it. I know there's been a lot of meetings. And it goes back to what I said the other day. When you get to this point, you start to – where are we now? It's getting towards the end of the season. You know, what are our thoughts moving forward? And I just know there's a lot of stuff that gets thrown out there, and I can't get caught up in that. Who's meeting with who? And I'm tasked with getting this team prepared to play a game, and we want to go out and get this feeling, you know, this taste out of our mouths, and that's all I'm focused on. So I don't get caught up in that. No, when I talked about it, that was more in general terms. When things aren't going well, it's people. It's human nature. You have a tendency to bunker in, and it's okay. Things aren't going well. How can we fix it? It's well intentioned, and there'll be a lot of plans put forward on. Here's my opinion on what's wrong. Here's my opinion on what's right. Here's my opinion on what we need to do, and there's a lot of those. But there's going to be opinions all over the building from that. My point, too, was at some point we need to get together and decide what is our course of action so that we're not splintered and kind of going down this path. We need to be clear on what we need to fix and move forward and channel all of our energy into that.
I know that you start against the Bengals and the Steelers, but can Johnny's threat as to spread, you know, run everywhere, can that help your running game in this game?
Well, look, I think it can help our running game in any game. It's a function of how they're playing us. That if they want to, sometimes teams, you play a lot of man coverage, you got to make sure that you account for the quarterback if he gets out of the pocket. I know Eric and know of his philosophy, and you know, having worked with Bob Sutton, who had worked with Eric in New York, and I know a lot of the core concepts of that defense and the thought process. So No, it's a matter of what's there, and we have to be in a position to take advantage of what they're giving us. And if that's the quarterback getting out of the pocket and getting on the move, then that'll be a part of it.
Does he use a lot of man?
No, they're more zone. They'll play some man, but they are primarily a zone team. I think the longer you get out, the more that becomes a real possibility. So I would think that we should have some clarity on that soon, especially with it starting to wind down. You almost get to the point where it's like, oh, we need to make a decision one way or the other. And I know it's frustrating for both those guys because they both want to be out there for their teammates. They're both working hard, doing everything they can do. And it's tough when you see those guys in the building here's a player that's willing and can help us and they're not out there. It's helpless from our part and it's probably even more so on their part.
Would it make sense though, considering where you are right now, and obviously you want those players back, you need those guys, but are you at a point where it just might make more sense to say, you know what, let's just shut you down for the year and allow you to get yourself ready for next year?
Yeah, I think I just said it. We're kind of right at that point. So probably soon, we just have to. At some point, you got to make a decision. When they're in the protocol, I mean that's tough. You don't know how quickly it's going to be. But as the more it goes on, the more of potentially a need that you have to have that conversation.
Like the last couple of days, you said you've known Eric McGee for a while. Like, how do you know him?
I know him through Rex. Because Rob was on the staff, so actually a couple times Eric runs that camp up in I think it's Hartford that I had gone up there and worked that camp with him and just whether it was at the combine or the Senior Bowl, just league functions that we spent some time together.
Are your defensive teams, they come from the same place, are they similar?
I wouldn't say their roots are the same. I think there's a lot of similar concepts. Just as I mentioned, being with Bob Sutton in New York, because we were taking over a Jets defense that had been that was essentially Eric's system. When we first got there, we looked at okay, what do we want to carry over? What are some elements that we liked from that? And then having Bob on the staff, who was the coordinator and then became the linebacker coach, we were able to integrate a bunch of things that the players were comfortable with. So that kind of came into our package now as we know it because we ran it in New York and then carried it to Buffalo and then here. So there's some elements of it, but the roots of the systems are different.
Mike, it's out there that Kurt Roper's headed to South Carolina. They've joined Muschamp's staff down there. Is he, A, still with the team, and B, could you just, comment on what that means for you?
Yeah, I'm not at liberty to say anything. That's anything official about that. I know that's either done or close, but no. Kurt's been he's been an asset for us this year. He's been real good for Flip, especially in the pass game. Just be able to bounce ideas off of him. Some of the spread run game stuff is Kurt's well versed in all that. He was very helpful for me, but he'll. We're expecting him here from this game, and he will finish out the season with us.
Do you have much interaction at all with players that are like on IR, like EPO, basically kind of a redshirt year? Do you have any impressions of him? It's got to be difficult for guys that are kind of like on the team, but not necessarily on the team, and they're out there not.
Yeah, and that's hard because there's a handful of those guys every year, and it's almost like a ghost-like existence. They're here. You kind of see them, and it's hard, early in the year, but then the conversation. It's tough because it's the same for them, I think it's really hard for Efo because he's known. I mean, he's essentially been on IR from day one. It's not like he went through a bunch of things and then played, and then at some point, okay, we got to shut you down. I mean, he's essentially been on it from the beginning. Tremendous work ethic. I know he's covered a lot of ground so far in the rehab, but has a long way to go. And great kid, and you could just tell it's wearing on him. He, as the year goes on, you could just say he sees it. He wants to be out there, but he also knows that he's got a ways to go.
Mike, Malcolm Johnson, did he have that surgery
Yeah, I think Malcolm in the role that he played was very good for us. That we were, there was some question coming into it, you know, as a hybrid type fullback, as to whether or not that he'd be able to make some of the blocks that were required of him, and he answered those questions. That I think he got better with every game that he played, and that's a shame he got hurt, because we could see his role, that he was earning kind of more with what he was doing. Looking forward to. I'm not sure yet if he I haven't gotten final word whether he needs surgery, but we'll look forward to having him back and know that we have a viable fullback moving forward.
Two more. What do you want to see from the players and the team overall over the next 4 weeks to feel good about how this season?
First of all, you want to win. I mean, losing stinks. Bottom line, so we got to find a way. We put in all this time, all this work together. We're in this building way too long not to enjoy the fruits of that. But I also want to see, and I think Joe Thomas touched on it a little bit too, I couldn't have said it any better than he did when he talked about, listen, I'm going to prepare the way I prepare, whether we're 10-2 or 2-10, and I expect the same from my teammates. And there's been no reason to see that otherwise. I mean, Josh McCown grabbed me in the hallway and just said, wow, I thought yesterday's practice was really good. I mean, the guys are into it. I mean, the effort's there, the energy's there. We have very few repeated plays, you know, and for this time of year, and you're just kind of out there, you can kind of get through the season's not going well. You know, the weather's not great. It's just kind of drudge your way through it. And that hasn't been the case. So it's the message that we're preaching. Control what you can control. Prepare the way you're supposed to prepare and go out and give an A-plus effort.